anyway, 3 weeks ago we talked about the Greek word nikeo, which is translated conquer or overcome, and is used a great number of times. It's used a lot in the Epistle of John. Also, it's used in Romans chapter 8, where it says, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The hooper nikeo is the word there. Super conquerors. Hooper nikeo. Remember, it's where the word, the Nike tennis shoes come from, right? Nike, or to conquer, which means to conquer, is the Greek word to conquer. Let's go to 1 John. I'm just going to do a quick review of that, because that leads into really what I'm talking about tonight. And then last week was Valentine's Day, and on Sunday, and I taught on the love of God. And it's funny because it has all tied together, because really to walk with the power of God, you've got to walk by the Spirit. You have to. To walk by the Spirit of God, you've got to walk in love. So let me say that again. To walk with the power of God, you have to walk by the Spirit. You can't walk by the Spirit of God without walking in love. It's impossible. And I'll show you. And so that's what I've been kind of mulling over and thinking about here. You know, 3 weeks ago, of course, Tom West was here, you know, 2 weeks ago. But 3 weeks ago, I talked about conquering and how the love of God was so important for conquering, walking with the power of God. And then last week, I really just got delved into the love of God. And this week, I'm going to sort of tie it all together, I think. If you remember, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. That's the spirit we've been given, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. To walk with the power of God, you have to be able to walk with the love of God. Let's go to, okay, so we're in 1 John chapter 4, and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that word overcome is the Greek word nikeo, which means to conquer. And the them, of course, refers to, you know, in the world that there are many bad spirits, false prophets, people who work for the other side. So you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, have overcome those evil forces that are in the world. And now, let's go to chapter 5, verse 4. We were at 4:4, let's go to 5:4, which says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. From the moment you get born again, you have all the trappings necessary to be more than a conqueror, as it says in Romans chapter 8. You have everything that you need to be more than a conqueror. But what you've got to do is you've got to walk in love. And if you look at the context here between these two verses, it's all about love. Look back at chapter 4. In verse 7, for instance, says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. I mean, here up at verse 4, it's talking about overcoming those nasty devils. And just a few verses later, it's talking about walking in love, and almost everything between these chapter 4, verse 4, and chapter 5, verse 4, is about love. Because you have to be walking in love to really manifest the power of God. Let's look at verse 16. Verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. That we may have what? Boldness. Well, to walk with the power of God, you've got to have some boldness. And the love of God will help give you that boldness to walk with the power of God. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. As He is. Think about that. As the Lord Jesus Christ is. And what do you have in you? Christ in you, right? As He is, so are we. The power that we have, He had that power. It's His power. We can walk with the same love that He walked with. We can walk with the same boldness that He walked with. You know what? There's a verse, I didn't write it down, but there's a verse, and I'll find it. But there's actually a verse that says that we can manifest the same love that God loved the Lord Jesus with. The same love that God loved the Lord. And how much do you think God loved the Lord Jesus? It's unfathomable to think about that. I mean, really, if you think about it, that we can have the same love, we can walk with the same love that God loved the Lord Jesus with. Amazing. Anyway, we're in 1 John. We're talking about how the context is the love of God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not difficult. For, and for means what? It's all in one context. For, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You see the context of walking in love? See, when you walk in love, you'll do what? You'll do God's commandments. And when you do God's commandment, what happens? You overcome. You see that? You see the context there? Talking about walking in love, keeping the commandments, and then overcoming. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our believing, even our faith. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Again, this is a little bit of a review from last week. Matthew chapter 22, the first and great commandment. And, you know, remember, walking in love is not an emotion, but it's a feeling. Walking in love with the love of God is a spiritual love. Walking in love with the love of God is a decision that you can make. You can make a conscious decision to walk in love. Pretty familiar verse, but it's worth looking at. Verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, you know, trying to catch him in a trap, trying to get him to say the wrong thing. Saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Oh, what's the best law, Jesus? Because if you say the wrong thing, we'll have a reason to go talk bad about you among the people. It doesn't say that, but believe me, it's implied. It's implied. Jesus always walked with the Father. He always knew the right thing to say, didn't he? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. In other words, you love God with your entire being. Everything about you. Every part of your being you love God with. That's the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All of the law is contained in these two commandments. Because if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your fellow man as yourself, guess what? You will always do what's right. You'll always do the will of God. You'll always do it. You'll always do the right thing. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. It's restated really sort of a different way. In verse 12, this is what we call the golden rule. Verse 12 says, Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Said it again. How about that? Always think of others at least as good as you think of them as yourself. But there's another place in the Bible that says, believe it or not, says to esteem others better than yourselves. I think that's in Philippians, I believe. I think we looked at that last week. In fact, if you really are walking by the Spirit, if you're really walking in love, you're actually going to consider other people before you consider yourself. That's what you'll do. But at least as good as yourself, right? Romans chapter 5. The love of God is spiritual. It's a spiritual love. You can't have it if you're not born again. So many people are in the world really believe that God, that His love is conditional. That He, well, you know, if I'm not good enough, well, that's human nature. Human nature is, I love you because.
Or if, right.
I love you if, or I love you because. And God is, I love you in spite of. That's God's love. God's love is, I love you. Even though all this stuff you did wrong, I still love you. Didn't have to buy God an iPod Touch or anything, or a new phone or anything else. He still loves me. I'm just teasing my kids. I know they would even if I didn't buy them all that junk. Maybe, huh? Maybe, right? But the love of God is a spiritual thing. And here in Romans chapter 5, it says in verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." That's where the love of God comes from. It comes from the Holy Ghost. It comes from the Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, chapter 13 is really interesting because, you know, as we looked, and I really saw this today for the first time when I was thinking about the context, but as I was thinking about 1 John chapter 4 and 5 that we had already looked at and how the context is interwoven with walking with power and overcoming is walking in love. And really, it's the same here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 because chapter 12 is all about the manifestations. And chapter 14 is all about the manifestations. In other words, walking with the power of God, walking by the Spirit, using the manifestation. And 13 is right between them. You know, kind of like a little diamond, just sitting there glowing about walking in love. And even makes a comparison there in chapter 13 about walking in love. That you have to have it to operate the manifestations even. Let's look at chapter 12, just in verse 7. We'll just look, in just so you can see the context here. In verse 7 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And then it lists the manifestations. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." In other words, God tells you what you need to know in a particular situation by the Spirit. Or God tells you what to do in a particular situation by the Spirit. That's word of knowledge and word of wisdom. You're driving along and God tells you to turn left. And I mean, I've had this happen so many times, you know, where God just tells me what to do. Where I need to know, and there's no way for me to know except for God to tell me. That I would never know it by my five senses, but God tells me. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. "To another faith." Think about this. This is the manifestation of faith. This is the ability to have the faith of Jesus Christ. See, my own feeble brain, my two-bit brain, my pea-sized brain can't believe to heal somebody. But God gives me the manifestation of faith, of believing that I can believe to heal. That's the manifestation of believing. Or to do whatever else needs to be done. So see, it's not even up to you to believe to heal somebody. You just walk by the Spirit and the power of God will be there. That's why you need the manifestation of faith. So to another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another working of miracles by the same Spirit. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All of these manifestations here, all of these operations of the power of God. And then if you go to chapter 14, it says in verse 1, "Follow after charity, but desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." Verse 14 is all about speaking in tongues and prophesying, both in your private prayer life and in the church. Look at verse 5. There's a good verse. Paul says, "I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying." You know what? God wants you to speak in tongues. God wants you to interpret those tongues. God wants you to prophesy. I didn't write the book. Let's look at verse 18. "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all." God wants us to speak in tongues. It's a big deal. But I'm not here to teach about speaking in tongues. We're here to teach about the love of God. But what I wanted to show you is that the context of chapter 13 that we're going to read is all about operating the power of God. That you've got to have the love of God to operate the power of God. Now let's look at chapter 13, verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity. And that word charity is the Greek word agapeo, which is the love of God. Though I have not the love of God, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, a sounding brass, in other words, a huge horn, right? Or just a little triangle. Ding, 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 ding. A great big horn. Bah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're the loudest. It doesn't matter what you do. Whether you speak in tongues, whether it's loud or it's soft. Without the love of God, it's just noise. It's just noise. It doesn't mean anything. That's what that means. Without the love of God, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I can prophesy and I can tell you all these great things. And have understanding of all mysteries. I have the word of knowledge and I've got the word of wisdom. Understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not the love of God, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, in other words, you're out there going door to door, you're working at the food bank, you're working for the United Way, you're volunteering at the church, whatever it is, that's what it means. In other words, you just give yourself completely, right? That's what it means to give my body to be burned. You don't actually have to set yourself on fire or anything. Okay, we're in verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not the love of God, it profits me nothing. When you give, when you work, you've got to be doing it with the love of God. It's got to be you've got to have the love of God, or guess what it's worth to you? Nothing. Are you going to get any blessings off of it? Not really. You've got to be doing things with the right heart. And then there's a bunch of characteristics of the love of God listed out here, and I'm just going to cover them one by one. Very, very good. And they're just packed this, you know, in 3 or 4 verses here, it's just packed full of just great information. The love of God suffers long. The love of God has endurance. It will put up with circumstances. It will put up with people. Really to the greatest extent possible. If you work the Greek words in here, I'm just going to just kind of give you the what we call maybe the expanded according to usage. Charity suffers long. It'll just put up with people and circumstances really in spite of or no matter what. Charity is kind. It's kind in spite of what other people do. It's kind not because of, but in spite of. Charity envies not. Charity doesn't look at someone doing well and is jealous. Charity doesn't look at someone who is doing well and thinks, oh, that should be me. Charity doesn't look at someone who's doing well and wishes that, oh, I wish they weren't doing so well. That's not right. It envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, doesn't boast about itself or think it's better than other people. Put itself above other people. It's not puffed up. It's not full of itself. You're not all full of yourself and thinking that, you know, that I'm so great and you're not. I'm so much better than you. Look at me, look at me. That's not charity. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. I've got a note here, does not behave rudely, obscene, or disgraceful. You know, because really part of walking in love is being a good witness. And you know, you're not going to, what does it mean you think about behaving yourself unseemly? Losing your temper and cussing up a storm somewhere. Getting all drunk and acting like a fool. I mean, things that would offend people in our culture. And really, this can change. If you think about it, this can change maybe from culture to culture. It's really thinking about other people and not doing things that would upset them or cast yourself in a bad light so that people would go, oh, man, I'm not going to go to church with you. No way, no church with you. Well, let's continue on. Yeah. Is not easily provoked. Provoked to what? I mean, you know, is not provoked to anger. Right? What does it say about that? Easily provoked in the Amplified? Verse 5. We're still in verse 5. Because, see, I hadn't finished verse 5. So I haven't even gotten... That's okay. I haven't even gotten to some of that stuff yet. It says, seeketh not her own. Is not unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Doesn't say, look at me. Here I am. Is not easily provoked. Is not provoked to anger. Is not provoked to anger or to wrong action. I'm going to pull up my Amplified and and look at it. You know, people say rude things to you or try to get you to do things that are off the word. And you're not going to be provoked to that. You're not going to be provoked to lose your temper. You're not going to be provoked to say rude or harsh things. Yeah, in the Amplified that Arthur read, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. The last part of the verse says, thinketh no evil. And that doesn't mean you don't think evil, but you don't count things up. You don't keep account. Okay, well, I owe you one, right? I'm not going to do anything about it now, but just wait. Just wait. That's what that means there. And in the Amplified it says, yeah, what it says, it takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to the suffered wrong. In other words, where you count things up. Well, okay, let's pull back things from 5 years ago that you did to me that I don't like. You know, sometimes when it comes to brothers and sisters, they can hold grudges, you know, for years and years and years.
What the heck? I didn't know you were talking about.
I'm not actually talking about you. But I've heard other people do that, you know, where it's like, you know, you can be an adult and your brother or sister brings up something that, you know, happened when you were a kid. Well, you got a pony before I got a pony. You got a bike before I got a bike. So all of these things, you don't keep track. You don't keep account. Let's keep reading. Where are we at? We're in verse 6. Well, I mean, and really, I wanted to take the time to go through these in detail. I really did. No, we're almost done. I wanted to take the time to cover these what the different characteristics of the love of God in detail. Okay, verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. And in the Amplified says, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness. In other words, look what happened to them. Ha ha ha. See how the mighty have fallen. You know, when you think about that, I mean, everything in life, especially in the media these days, is about, you know, finding, you know, some celebrity or somebody that, oh, look what's happened to them. I mean, Tiger Woods, that's the perfect example of our most recent celebrity who has fallen on hard times. That, you know, I'm sure there's people all over the world that go, yeah, well, you know, he's gotten his comeuppance, hasn't he? You know. Well, the love of God doesn't think that. In fact, the love of God is sorry about those things. The love of God will pray for people like that. The love of God doesn't wish ill on other people. You know what? Even if they deserve it. Think about that. The love of God doesn't wish ill on other people even if they deserve it. Gee. Wouldn't it be funny if the guy's house next door burned down?
Yeah, it would be funny.
No, it wouldn't be funny. That's not the love of God. That's something I had to deal with a little bit in my life, okay? I got mad when the guy built his house next door and blocked my view. And people would come over and they would say, well, wouldn't it be funny if his house burned? I'm like, no, it wouldn't be funny. That's not right. More than one person came over and said that to me. You know, kind of as a joke, of course. But I mean, but seriously, I bet I had 4 or 5 people come over and say, wouldn't it be funny if his house burned down after he built his house and blocked your view? Well, they wouldn't do it. They told me they wouldn't do it when we moved in. Yeah. That kind of stuck in my craw for just a little while. But you know what? I just realized that I wasn't. Yeah. But you know what? I wasn't. I mean, it wasn't the love of God.
He's been delivered, he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the love of God, you know. So I just had to say, you know what? Give it. That's right. Okay, let's keep reading. So, the love of God rejoices not in iniquity. You don't rejoice when a brother falls. You don't rejoice when, oh, you know, he fell off the wagon again or whatever. You don't rejoice in that. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. The love of God bears all things. It says here in the Amplified, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. How about that? I'm in verse 7. It bears all things. The love of God, again, puts up with stuff. just puts up with people and puts up with circumstances.
Yeah.
Let's keep reading. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The Amplified says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. And then finally, in verse 8, love never fails. And the Amplified says, love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or becomes or comes to an end. That's the love of God. It perseveres. It is kind, isn't provoked to anger. And that's a big one, being provoked to anger. Listen, in fact, this isn't in my notes, but if you look at, let's look at James, I believe James chapter 1. There's a great verse here. In verse 19, James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. How about that? Can it be more clear than that? You can't walk with God and be losing your temper and be mad all the time. Can't do it. You've got to be slow, 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 slow to get angry when you're walking in love. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. You know, a while back I was having problems with a client. A client came in to settle his case with me. And I got to tell you, I was writing the guy a big, big check. A big check. You know, considering, especially kind of considering, I think a check for about $25,000. And I'll be honest with you, he didn't have $25,000 worth of hurt, okay? He was getting a bonus. He was really getting a big, big, big chunk of money for what he had gone through. And his daughter came in with him, first time I'd met her. But as I'm, and it's okay, I don't mind that. I mean, he was an older man, and his daughter came in probably to make sure that, you know, he was being treated fair. But she started really, 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 really nitpicking at everything. All my expenses, I'd loaned a lot of money to the gentleman, you know, for different things. And she wanted to see copies of, she wouldn't just take my word for it, that I had loaned him all this money. She wanted to see a copy of every single check. And so we were having to go back and dig them out. And I was really, really, really starting to get aggravated, you know? And when I get aggravated, I have a tendency to pop off. You know, to say things, to get irritated and to kind of pop off and say things. And so I was just about there, and I could feel that it was coming, you know? And I'm like, oh, no. And so I walked out of the room, and I was taking care of business. And when I went to walk back in, before I walked back in, I just asked God. I said, God, I just rebuked the devil. I felt like the adversary was really trying to tempt me, was trying to talk to me and tell me to be mean, you know, to say something harsh. You know, I mean, it's easy to walk in there and go, you know, I loaned you all this money. Why don't you just, and you're getting $25,000. I mean, what's your deal? Why are you getting so wound up about this? I mean, that's what I wanted to go in there and say. But instead, I backed off and I just asked God to, first I rebuked the devil and then I asked God to help me walk in love. You know, that's what I did. And I walked in, and you know, it's really funny. All of a sudden, everything was just fine. All of a sudden, everything was just... I just sat down and I just started chit-chatting with them. You know, I just asked God to guide me and to help me walk in love. And I walked in and just sat down and just kind of started talking and just, you know, just chit-chatting. And before you knew it, everything was fine. And before you knew it, you know, they said, oh, you know what? I'm sure this is fine. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. You know, when I'm very careful about the way I handle my business. And that was it. It was solved. The problem was solved. You know, just because I had walked, you know, decided to walk in love instead of being, you know, acting like a lawyer. Oh, how dare you? How dare you accuse me of anything? Because that's what we do, right? That's the world. How dare you? But that's not walking in love. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And so walking in love really is a decision. And sometimes it's, and you can, and it's a spiritual thing. And just like anything else with the Spirit, God will help you walk in love. And really, you know, I had this Ephesians actually in my notes in the middle of the teaching, but actually I decided to put it at the end because this really does bring it all together, I think, where walking in love is absolutely a spiritual thing. And it's absolutely necessary to walk with the power of God. And if we look in verse 16 here in Ephesians chapter 3, it said that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So we're talking about a spiritual thing, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And I've got a note here that says dwell means to saturate or inhabit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that you, having been rooted and grounded in love. Not just walking in love, but rooted and grounded in love. May be able, and that Greek word there means to fully able to comprehend with all saints. And you're really able to comprehend something? By the Spirit of God. It's got to be by the Spirit of God. That you may be fully able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know, and that word know means to know by experience. To experientially know. To know the love of Christ. To experience the love of Christ. Which, guess what? It tells you to know something which you can't know. It says to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And how else are you going to know that but by the Spirit of God? And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. How about that? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the dunamis, the ability that works in us. And that right there, the power that works in us, is talking about the operating the power of God. The power, the ability that is energized in us. That really is. But what's right in the middle of that? What's right in the center of that? To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That we've got to know and to be rooted and grounded in love. We've got to be walking in love to be able to really, really walk by the Spirit and to really manifest the power of God. I'm just going to look in the Amplified real quick. You know, may Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. I'm doing verse 17. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. And what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it, of that love? That you may really come to know, practically through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. That's it. Man. Walking in love. Walking is so, so, so important, you know. It's so important. And let's go to one more place. 1 John chapter 4. Back to verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, or the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, don't you think we ought to love one another? No man has seen God at any time. But you can actually insert the word but here, and it actually in the Amplified it is there. It is here. You can actually put it there. No man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwells in us. And His love is perfected in us. You know, no man has seen God at any time, but if you walk with the love of God, you walk by the Spirit, and you walk with the power of God, they will see God in you. That's what that means. So, amen.